Hi and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osier bring a very special episode talking about Lent and the season of Lent. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osier.
All right, welcome, friends, to Being Lutheran bonus.
Yeah.
Yay.
One of our many planned diversions away from the Book of Concord for a breather until we start the formula. Well, everyone needs a breather, yeah. And it's not the formula. We still got to do the treatise.
Right. Palate cleanser
before the treatise.
Palate cleanser, huh?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Right.
I don't know if we've ever been described as a palate cleanser, though. Anything that we have done?
As a bad aftertaste, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Well, today we are doing, for this episode and next episode, we're doing a two-part series on the season of Lent. And we're going to be walking through a few biblical passages and talking about a few related topics related to Lent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, this is being Lutheran, Brett, not being Catholic. Why are we talking about Lent? That's what I get, universally, yeah. Anytime that I mention Lent
really?
To people. Yeah, other than outside of, our kind of, our church body, of course, yeah. Lutherans, but anything outside of Lutheranism that would be classified as any other Protestant denomination, probably.
Yeah.
Not any, but most. Why are you doing that? Isn't that Catholic?
But the interesting thing is those same people would likely be mortally offended to find out you didn't participate in Life Sunday or have a patriotic-themed service for the 4th of July.
That's probably fair.
Just poke daggers in my soul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm
you
down
really
with
like
the DC
4th of July
that.
Sunday?
Don't.
I'm baiting him. I'm watching. You should see Brett. The normally docile plain white rice Brett Bowe is now fuming.
No.
This is where we get Brett to let loose.
Yeah.
Who knew?
No, both barrels.
So let's talk
I've
about
I've been
Lent.
Trying for years.
You don't sing the third setting of God Bless the
stop,
USA
stop,
by Lee
stop,
Greenwood?
Stop. All right.
We invite Lee Greenwood.
Oh, come on.
He's still alive, right?
Yeah, he's around.
Yeah, I do like, though, the idea that there's this secular liturgical calendar that...
It goes along with the sacraments. Yeah. It's the same exact principle, when you create a vacuum in the historic practice of the church, it gets filled up in the same way with something that is inferior.
Mm-hmm.
And the sacraments does that, the liturgical calendar, it does that. It's just the way of sinful human nature, I guess, is what we'd put it, is the way God has designed worship. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think this goes all the way back to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, where the worship in the temple is described. God expects to be approached in great detail in specific ways. And when we depart from what the church has done because of some misconceived notion of what the Reformation was about, those necessary and good things are going to be replaced by unnecessary and less good things.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's interesting you bring that up, because Lent is not directly commanded in Scripture.
No.
It is certainly, and that's, right. I think we're going to get into that, a historic practice that goes, not just a little ways back, but a very long ways back. And I think that there's a lot of value. It would be along the lines as anything, probably, when we talk about Advent and that sort of thing. It's a church calendar type thing, which is, again, not commanded by Scripture, but it's extremely helpful in keeping us focused on Scripture
and focused on Christ. You might be saying that here.
Yeah. I like after how I accused you of being, going to lose your mind, you had to focus back on Jesus. I like how you did that. Brett is really good at controlling himself. But yes, I was going there, Brett.
And I was going to say, is that what you typically say? I know, Adam, you mentioned people say, that's such a Catholic practice. Is that kind of your go-to answer for the season of Lent?
Yeah, how do I say it? It's a whole lot more helpful to focus our eyes on Jesus than so many of these other things. And that's the difference, in my opinion, between This is going to be our whipping boy, isn't it? This episode.
GAC.
Notorious GAC.
The 4th of July, Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And that whole idea of mixing those two kingdoms, right?
Yeah.
It's unhelpful because the problem for me is what. And I digress. Okay.
I'm looking at the timer. We've been digressing for 4 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah, but we're kind of digressing in a good way.
Go for it.
The whole 4th of July Sunday problem that I have is that what happens if a Canadian is in your service that day? Yep. At the end of the day, I want anybody from any country to be able to come in and say, oh, I was edified. I heard and it was fed by Jesus here. Through his word or sacrament. That's what I want them to say when they leave my service, right?
Amen.
And I think the difference, and this is what I would say, is if Lent is just done to say I gave up something for 40 days, then it is a problem, right? Because there's nothing valuable in just the outward act of me giving something up for 40 days. But to understand why the early church did what they did, why they gave up something for that amount of time, what it symbolized, what it signified, what it pointed us to, was a pure, it's just like the spiritual discipline thing, right? Is the idea of fasting. Why fast? Because God feeds us. In fasting, he reminds us of our need for him. That's exactly what it is. It's a reminder that God, it's from his hand that we receive all of our good gifts and blessings.
Yeah, and there's really three layers for us to consider with what Adam is saying about the that's too Catholic nonsense. Is the first is, again, Luther didn't reform the church because of the that is too Catholic principle. That's not what he's doing. He wanted to get rid of the practices that distracted from the gospel and from the word of God. And anything that could be used to retain that value or to continue to teach the faith, he kept. We aren't starting something new for the point of breaking away from everything. What we're trying to do is recapture the gospel. It's a reforming new movement, not a start something new movement. The second, like Adam said, is the practice of Lent, just like the practice of the church calendar or the practice of having lectionary readings, all of that is deeply rooted in the church. We Lent goes all the way back 1800 years. I mean, probably even farther.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really important about the church calendar, about like the lectionary readings and everything like that, they are adiaphora. They're not written in stone. They weren't delivered to Moses on the third tablet or anything like that, but they reflect what Scripture teaches to us. If you remember back to our Advent episodes a couple months ago, the point of the church calendar is you have two cycles that do law, gospel, and Christian life. And then, so you have the mini Advent Christmas Epiphany cycle, which is the shorter cycle, and then you have the major Lent, Easter, and Pentecost/Trinity,
mm-hmm.
that is the big law, gospel, Christian life. And within each one of those cycles, you have law, gospel, and the Christian life every Sunday with the Word of God, but that is carrying you through the flow of Scripture. And when we do that, and really because we do that, we celebrate the content of Scripture by doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Oh, go ahead.
I think, and part of it too, though it is not biblically commanded, is it helpful for us here to talk about what it is? Like Lent? And I think most of our listeners will know 40 days, and it is a reference, and the early church did it as a reference back to the 40 years in the wilderness and the 40 days of Jesus' temptation as well. Both, by the way, were related in the Scriptures. There are related events, and the 40 is significant. And it was during that going into the wilderness to kind of prepare for what was happening, at the end is kind of the thing, like the getting into the promised land,
yep.
overcoming temptations of Christ, that sort of thing. Easter is the fulfillment of that. What I found interesting is if you do the math, so this year it's March 5th, that's Ash Wednesday, that's the beginning.
That's super late.
Yeah, and what is the Easter date?
April 20th.
Is it April 20th? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have that gap. If you do the math, that is not 40 days. Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent, and you guys know why. I wonder if our listeners do. Give them a second to think about it. Why is there 40 days when it's really 40? I think it's 47.
Oh, I see that hand back there. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a test to see, does Jason actually know?
Say that. Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Because Sunday is not part of Lent. It's a little resurrection. It's a feast day.
Even in the midst of the season of Lent.
In the midst of the season of Lent.
We do not deny the resurrection.
Yeah. And that day that we that thing, if we do give up a thing, you know, something like food or drink or whatever during the time of Lent, those Sundays are not counted in those days of fasting. They're feast days. And so it's fully appropriate for us to, you know, understand it as such. But it's good for us to remember that Sunday is always, you know, the church year that doesn't say that Sunday always needs to be celebrated as such, but it's always, Sunday should always point us to the risen Savior every Sunday, not just Easter Sunday.
Amen.
Loosely speaking, the English word for Sunday goes back to that sort of thing, but literally, I think it's Russian. The Russian word for Sunday means resurrection. I think that's how it works.
Not but, the S-O-N day, like the the day of Christ the Son.
We don't need to Jesus juke that. It's already there.
That's right.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, should I read our scripture passage?
Yeah, let's read it. I mean, the Bible study we're doing today is going to build us right into Ash Wednesday, and we can start talking about some of the specific Lent things.
Sounds good. All right, we are in Genesis 3, and we're looking at Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And I read this in Jesus' name, and it says, "And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" Here ends the reading of God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I'm curious, you know, Jason, we were debating what passages to cover in this episode, but what drew you to this passage in particular?
This passage is the start of the Lenten liturgy. Mm-hmm. And so Lent opens with the Ash Wednesday practice of the imposition of ashes.
Yeah.
That's too Catholic.
Yeah. Literally had a pastor tell me that.
That's why I said it.
Yeah.
I might be the only one here that hasn't had the imposition of ashes on the forehead.
Yeah, and it's, you know,
we can fix that.
Sounds good.
So the way, like, we can do a lot of tradition on this. Traditionally speaking, the palm branches from the previous Palm Sunday are saved and dried, and then in a ceremony, you burn the palm ashes and you use the ash from that for it. My church is too small. I would literally just buy ash from CPH. You can buy it pre-burned.
Seriously?
Yeah. Pre-burned and pre-blessed, actually, pre-blessed. Both things.
Have you ever pre-blessed foods?
And also, shout out to a seminarian who, if you're still listening, you know who you are. The ash he was using 1 year for imposition of ashes was too dry. And so he's like, "I mixed it with water." You know what ash mixed with water makes, right? Lye.
Burned people.
Yeah, he's like, "They got red rashes on their forehead." I was like, "Yeah, don't mix it with oil next time if you want it to be a little bit less dry." But anyway, so the imposition of ashes, the liturgy is right here. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Yeah. The season of Lent is a penitential season where we focus on our mortality. And as a way of focusing on mortality, we also can choose to practice the mortification of the flesh. That's the whole season of Lent. So we're to focus on the suffering Christ paid for our sins, what he did as a sin bearer. Mm-hmm. And we focus on the cost of what Christ paid because of our sinfulness.
Yeah.
And so that starts with Ash Wednesday, with the imposition. You put a cross on their head. Most liturgical churches do that as they receive communion. And so you go up for communion, you receive the cross, and then you receive the body and blood of Christ. It's a beautiful juxtaposition of law and gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. If I wasn't leading a service at my own church, I'd probably come over and
Yeah,
I never have experienced that.
Mm-hmm. It's highly powerful. Ash Wednesday, one of my favorite services of the year, to lead it. It's just highly introspective.
Yeah, it's deeply meaningful. The ashes themselves, but even just what Ash Wednesday is all about. You know, just that reminder that we are our dust is just a really powerful thing for us to really appreciate Christ.
Right.
I was talking recently to my students as I was teaching Romans in the book of Romans, 1:18 to 3:20. Those verses, that range is basically Paul telling you how profoundly not okay you are. and he leaves no shred of doubt that your Jewishness, your ignorance, your barbarianism, your whatever doesn't excuse you from the wrath that is to come. Yeah. And that's why the gospel is necessary. But what ends up happening is at the end, so 3:21 begins a brand new paragraph, which I call for my students the best paragraph ever written, because it just lays out the gospel. It would clearly, if clearly understood, it tells the whole story of the gospel. Now, that's what I think is so important, is for us to realize that we are dust makes the resurrection of Christ, the culmination, right, of Lent, the ultimate, you know, the feast of Easter, makes it all the more beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah. And it reminds me, you know, of as you give those things up at different times, and I may be sharing some things on here that, you know, I know that people have different views on things, but one of the things that I remind, my dad, it'll be 10 years now here that he has been gone. And by gone, I mean he died 10 years ago. I know Jason doesn't like when we use euphemisms like passed away or gone or went to be with the, you know, that sort of thing. But
entered glory.
Entered glory. He died. And I'll say that for Jason's sake. But I remember every year at Easter, as you maybe give up the mortification of the flesh, whatever you want to call it, as you give up things for Lent, you know, you look forward to that Easter day. And it brings me back to that beautiful passage in Isaiah 25 that on that day, you know, he will swallow up death forever, that passage, Isaiah 25.
Yep.
And that day is a day of feasting, of, you know, of fine wine and rich meat, mm-hmm. you know, of age well, you know, wine well-refined and well-aged meat. That's right. It's just a beautiful... Well-aged wine. You get it. Yeah. Good food.
Well-aged steak, though. I'm there with you.
Yeah, all that to say, it's such a beautiful picture and reminder of the gospel. And that's the purpose of these things. They point us to Jesus. They point us to his glory. And the mortification of the flesh, while not commanded, certainly paints the picture for the beauty of the gospel that comes at the resurrection.
Yep. Yeah, and I think, too, you know, the whole... You are dust. Yeah, it makes me think of one of the most meaningful things for me as a pastor, and maybe for people that are listening that have been there at a graveside service.
Yep.
Thinking of that special moment, especially when somebody when they're lowering the casket into the ground, and you know, the funeral director gives you a little vial of dirt, and you say those words and make the sign of the cross over the casket. And yeah, it's a reminder both of death and of life, the life that we have in Christ and the resurrection life.
Well, and it's a great reminder for us that the law always is met in Christ by the gospel. I think, you know, the generic American church has done a disservice to the Christian faith is that in its largely a death avoidance ministry. We change funerals to celebrations of life. We, you know, we avoid the concept of death. But the more you avoid death, the less good news the resurrection is. Because if you can somehow communicate that death isn't a problem, why do you need to be raised from the dead? And so the Ash Wednesday liturgy is really, it's a funeral liturgy. You know, mm-hmm. it's the same thing. Like you said, it's the graveside.
Yep, yep.
What God says to Adam in Genesis 3:19 is the culmination of the curse. You shall not eat of any tree, or you can eat of any tree in the garden, but you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. And in the Hebrew there literally is dying, you will die. And the culmination of this curse is, okay, it's going to happen. you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And then you have Genesis 4, Cain murders Abel, and then the genealogy after Genesis 4 is the going through, and he died, and he died, and he died. And the constant refrain of humanity since Genesis 3 has been, and he died. Lent is the Christian way to meditate on that reality, to meditate that unless Christ returns, should Christ tarry, that will be true of you and me and everyone listening, and he died. Mm-hmm. We also will have the dust scattered on the casket. We also will return to the ground, but God, being rich in mercy, sent Christ to overcome the grave.
Yeah.
And every Ash Wednesday looks forward to Easter Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And Christ redeemed the grave. Christ conquered the grave. And now for us, even as we meditate on death, for the Christian, death is not the end.
Mm-hmm. And it's the resurrection is the reversal of the curse.
Yeah.
Yep. Right?
Yep.
And it's the it's the dealing with it in the reversal of the curse of Adam.
Right. And reversal of the curse to the point that death itself is no longer a threat. We die until Christ returns, and we recognize that. Pastor Brian Wolfmuller has a whole Bible study he's done on the sweet names of death. And if you can find that, it's a beautiful thing. Because the grave is now sanctified, we can speak of death in figurative language.
Yeah.
That, you know, the ways the Bible teaches, and he rested with his fathers, and he was gathered to his people.
Yeah. And, you know, and then in all of that, too, coming back to Christ, as we get ready in the season of Lent, we're marching to Good Friday, where Christ died for us, and thinking of his death as well.
Yeah, Good Friday is Christ's Ash Wednesday, and he goes to the grave in our place, and when he emerges from the grave is no longer a threat. And so it is meet, right, and salutary, to co-opt the language, for us to have a season where we dwell on death, and we think about death, and we understand that Christianity isn't all about happiness and sunshine and fairies and unicorns. It's that the gospel comes at a price, and it is good to remember that price, because when we understand the gospel in light of the law, the gospel is that much sweeter.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next time as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam wrap up their discussion on Lent and the season of Lent. If you'd like more information about the Bible school or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great day.